For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording us on a Saturday night. The Kings back on the home floor after that painful loss to the Chicago Bulls. This time, Giannis and the Bucks come to town. No Dame time. Bobby Portis still suspended. Kings shorthanded without Sabonis. But then we find out just hours before the game, Malik Monk sick. He isn't playing. That meant Keon Ellis injected into the starting lineup. And what a first half for him. 18 points in the first half. Kings look like, hey, they might have a chance to win this game. Mm-hmm. But then Giannis woke up in that third quarter, said, I'm a beast. I'm the incredible bulk. And he went to work. 22 points, 8 rebounds in the third quarter. And the Bucks controlled the non-Giannis minutes. With all that said, we still had a game. The Kings were up 108-107, but they did not score a single point in the final 4 minutes and 24 seconds. 0-for-6 shooting. They fall on the home floor to the Bucks, 114-108. They're now 35-35 on the season. They've lost 6 of 8. Oh, and by the way, their lead in the play-in is now down to just a game and a half with the Suns and the Mavs right there. Boston Celtics come to town next. This podcast is always presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Morgan, basketball sickos, happy Saturday nights.
Happy Saturday night.
All right, let's talk about this game, Morgan.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Also, like, I'm not in a mood to be in a bad mood, so I'm just going to be in a good mood, and I'm going to talk basketball.
All those claps did not feel like a good mood clap. Okay. That was not a good mood clap.
I was trying to get some, like...
And I understand what's going on with you, and I'm trying to... have empathy, and I understand it.
Roller coaster, man.
No, I feel the roller coaster right now, and I understand it. I'm accepting it.
Let it be.
Well, I try. But that clap right away, very aggressive.
Well, you know, it was aggressive. It was more aggressive than the way that the Kings were playing on Giannis, okay. I thought, in the third. So
stop it. What could they have done better against Giannis in the third?
Want me to show you?
Like, you've never seen Giannis finish through contact, dude, a ton of contact with guys. I think so I'm going to push back, and we are already getting hot. This is weird. This is like a debate show right now. Morgan, Giannis did his thing in the third quarter. At halftime, he had, what, 8 points?
Yeah, nine
points, yep. On 3 of 8 shooting. He comes out, and, you know, off some Kings misses. He's in transition, and it's like, good luck. Then he did some work in the post. He starts hitting jumpers. 22 points and 8 rebounds in just the third quarter. There was one play that jumped out to me in a big way. Jake LaRavia comes into the game in the second half. He picks up Giannis full court. I'm like, I'm watching a great defense, great defense. And then Giannis just bullied his way all the way to the basket and dunked it.
There was nothing else Jake LaRavia could have done. There, like there's so many of those moments where there's like, there's nothing else you could do. And I think just where my frustrations come in is that like my like this, I don't even want to call it pride, because I don't feel like they weren't playing with effort, any of those things. Like, I didn't question any of those things with this Kings team tonight. I just think there comes a point where you chuck a human being to the ground. And I mean that in not literally, not like a WWE move, but where like you clothesline them, you'd make them feel you.
Not what, just to be clear, Warren says not a WWE move. Maybe you clothesline them.
You jump off the top rope. No. Okay. I'm kidding. Hold on. I'm kidding. Can I tell you I'll give you the literal thing.
Sure.
Literal thing is chucking across, like coming across the arms so hard when he's just in the paint, when he like has the ball and he's even going to maybe even pass it out, but you have to make him feel you so he thinks twice. And again, I'm not acting like this was going to stop the guy, but I'm just thinking of different things and adjustments in ways that I would have adjusted as my basketball brain works.
That's fine. It's a very cute notion. I think every team in the NBA would love to come up with some thing to combat what we just saw. The Warriors did a good job on him the other night because they have a strong guy to defend him in Draymond. Sure. Green. They did some nice things. This guy's a second leading scorer in the NBA. He plays with force all the time.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable when he gets a spin move, and his reach is incredible that he could jam from like the free throw line.
God.
I mean, the guy's just a freak. So like, I don't have, like, the Giannis stuff tonight, was it frustrating seeing him get going? Well, he got going so much that he started hitting jumpers. I'd rather him shoot those jumpers. 22-8 is not ideal, but to me, the thing that bugged me more about tonight was the end of the final, whatever, 5 minutes of the game where they didn't score.
Mm-hmm.
Keon not playing down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reality is
the non-Giannis minutes.
Every time we watch the Warriors, we talk, especially when they didn't have Jimmy Butler, hey, the non-Kareem minutes, what does it look like? When you talk about the Nuggets, it's the non-Jokic minutes. When the Bucks are playing without Dame Lillard tonight, I was keeping an eye on those non-Giannis minutes. And both times, the Bucks cleaned up. Mm-hmm. It happened near the end of the first quarter into the second quarter. And then again, to start the fourth quarter, the first go-around in that, oh my God, this is painful to even look at. In the non-Giannis minutes, it ends up being... I'm looking at my notes. Sorry, Morgan.
No, it's okay. It's on your...
There you go. Non-Giannis minutes. First half, 23-17 bucks. Mm-hmm. Plus six. Not good. Fourth quarter, 18-11 bucks. So in total, it was 41-28 bucks in the non-Giannis minutes. That's what killed you. It killed you when Brooke Lopez got going with his size.
Absolutely.
Especially in some smaller lineups for Sacramento. And then I thought Kevin Porter, especially in that fourth quarter, made some great plays. He was aggressive in transition, seeking out mismatches, even hit some tough shots. And that's how you lose a game.
100%. There's not even a little bit of that analysis that I'm not saying is right. But I am not being irrational at all. When someone, a player in the NBA, doesn't even have to be Giannis. Doesn't have to be Giannis. Could be any player. And I say this for anyone that is like starting just like shoot threes, three after three. Sometimes you're not going to stop them playing the right way. And sometimes you just have to do something else. And that is all I'm saying. And I don't think that's irrational at all. And sometimes that only takes one player to be like, no, I'm going to hack the shit out of him and make him feel it. Sometimes it could take you out of the game. It could take you out of your rhythm. You're like, keep your head in the game. Completely understand. Find that balance of what that hack is going to be, of what that physical play is going to be. Just make them think twice. That is all I'm saying. But you are exactly right with the non-Giannis minutes, other guys beating you. And that, of course, was going to happen because this was also a good team even without Dame. But we've also seen this Kings team do a better job when a star player is out, where they're able to still make big defensive plays happen. And I thought the way that they even started this game with some big plays, some big rebounds, some just very active moments for so many of these guys, whether it was Trey Lyles jumping in there or Keegan Murray ripping a rebound away. And you're like, yes, this is the shit I love to see. This is winning basketball. And then it just started going away after Giannis started really going off.
Yeah, and then the other guys did. And I thought, you know, the Bucks defense has been playing pretty well, especially since the break. You know, I think Gary Trent Jr. did some really nice things on the perimeter tonight. He, in the first half on LaVine, really bugged him in a major way. And then, you know, he did the same thing in some different matchups. So, you know, the Bucks defense did some nice things. But, yeah, it's one of those games where the Kings did enough good that you felt like they could have won the game. And I think you look at what I was just talking about with the non-Giannis minutes, but the second half ends up being 65-47 Bucks. In the fourth quarter, 28-19 Bucks. With all said, the Kings had the lead into the fourth quarter. They had the lead in the final 5 minutes of this game. And then what went wrong? Well, a couple of things. Doug made the decision to take Keon out and never put him back in the game. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a tough one tonight because you elect... You're in a situation with your Doug. You're putting LaVine out there with DeMar and Keegan. Those three are definitely playing.
Yeah.
The other two were Lyles and LaRavia.
Yeah.
Keon Ellis played a great game tonight on both ends. He had 18 and a half. Ends up in this game with 20 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 of 10 shooting. He was 3 of 5 from downtown. He was also 5 of 5 at the free throw line. Keon, in an expanded role tonight, showed me much more than just being a catch and shoot guy. It's something he's been showing more and more of lately, putting the ball on the floor, a nice step through, attacking the basket, in transition, setting up his teammates. He has shown so much growth, I think, over the last couple of months. It excites me. But tonight, I'm like, this guy is having a major impact on the game in which Malik's not playing. And that was a huge thing to see. So not to see him play in the final 550 or whatever of this game, I think that's a tough look.
I completely agree. And I mean, it's the same thing you'll be asked over and over again. It's like, then who do you take out? I'm not the coach. But what I do know is that politics do play a part within not only the NBA, but I mean, I remember even seeing it in high school ball when like the rich kid got a start over me. You know what I mean? It's just like you see politics play a part at every level of life. And I think there comes a time when winning just needs to be like you're desperate for W's. You're desperate for like F everything else. Just find a way to get the win. And he was making the winning plays on the floor all night long, even with his size. I don't care if you go small ball in any way, shape, or form. He needed to be on the floor. I don't feel that way always about a certain player. But Keon, in his impact, every minute that he is out there, especially when he's having a good game, he's a winner. He's got to be out there.
He plays just under 37 minutes in this game tonight, but... and I get you give him a little rest. And there was one point it looked like they were going to put him back in, but they just rolled with that group. The group still has issues too. And maybe those issues crop up a bit with Keon out there still. And one of the big issues to me is, and we've seen this repeatedly in close games for Sacramento this year, where crunch time comes, not like 2 minutes to go, not 90 seconds to go, still a good portion of basketball to be played.
Oh, yeah.
And you just slow the ball down. And then it's late shot clock. It's dribble, dribble, dribble. And it leads to typically a bad shot. Now, the Kings during the stretch where they did not score in the final 424 of this game, Lyles airballed a wide open three. Sure. A great look.
Sure.
But and Keegan missed a deep three that looked like it could have gone in.
Oh, yeah.
But for the majority of it, first of all, they were all jump shots. They were all jump shots. Get to the free throw line. Put some pressure on the defense. And I think that's what's infuriating to me is like, why do you stop playing basketball in late game situations? I'm not saying it needs to be crazy pace, whatever, but let's move fast. Preach. Let's do the things that we were doing well earlier in the game. Why do we go away from them with 4.5 minutes to go when the game's not decided? Like we're trying to milk the clock.
Deuce. that, yes, one, like you're trying to milk the clock, no, no. But two, even those open looks that you just talked about with Trey Lyles and Keegan Murray, you're still taken out of the flow at that point. So like the rhythm, the energy of the basketball is just feeling a little different when you are chucking up that three or whatever it may be. And so, you know, sometimes you think like, oh, you got to find a way to still make that open shot. But the flow of the game, you also have to let come to you. And that's what they did throughout that first half, even when they were going cold and not making any of their shots. Like, they were still playing a style that was pretty enough, good enough. And in that fourth quarter, late, when they go away from that, it's hard to get back into that flow. And when you do that with your entire offense, I just don't know what the answer is. Like, is it, do you need to take out DeMar so that doesn't happen? No, because he's a big shot getter and you need to be able to rely on him in moments, but it also has to be this balance. And I think he's done a great job finding his balance throughout games, but not late in games. I don't even think it's like the mentality of like, oh, I got to save this team. I got to be the hero. I love having a guy that has the mentality of like, no, I'm going to get this effing bucket. But at the same time, you got to have those other moments where you're like, no, I got to do that with 90 seconds left in the game.
424 is so much time in a game.
Yes.
So much time in a game.
Yep.
You to slow it down and not move the same way you were moving earlier doesn't make sense. And yeah, it's like, I hear you on the DeMar thing, but it's also like DeMar has to have a better feel. Like, even if you hit a shot right now, that's not going to be the dagger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just play the game, get to the free throw line. I saw Keon get to the free throw line. Like I mentioned, DeMar, he's got the ability to draw contact, get to the free throw line, but we got to create some pace in the half court. We got to create some movement, because a lot of times it seems like everyone stands around, then it's like, oh, last second there's a move being made, or I don't know. I just don't love the late shot clock shit. And more times than not, it does not lead to something good.
Was it the end of the third? I think it was DeMar that did that, where he's like dribbling it out, and then he's like, oh shit, I don't have mine, pass it up to Keon to take like end of the shot clock, top of the three-point shot, whatever, attempt. It went out. I think Trey Lyles saved it, got them one more opportunity or something.
End of the first quarter, he held the ball for a good 14 seconds, it seemed like.
Maybe
and
it
then
was
went
that.
To work, so maybe it was that. That's another thing, and the Kings just had these weird stretches. So we talked about the end of the game. From the end of the first quarter bleeding into the second quarter, they missed 12 consecutive field goal attempts. And you know, missed shots are going to happen, but you're just like, oh my God, these are missed opportunities. And then you don't score. So we're talking about a few minutes you don't score at the end of the first. Then you talk about the final 424, you don't make a shot. There's got to be a deep dive into like, all right, here's what we're doing well when things are moving, okay?
Yeah.
When we're scoring. And then, hey, let's look at these late game situations. What's working? What's not working? And tonight, yeah, you missed a couple of good looks, but I think when you really look at it, they did not move the offense as with the pace that was necessary to create good looks.
If this was a couple months ago, I'm feeling differently about this game. It being a loss, I'm more like, ah, heartbroken, man, they had it. Could have taken this away from the Bucks. What on your home floor, whatever, not questioning effort, all the different things. I just think at this point of the season, when you're like clawing and scratching to get and keep that play-in spot, that I keep not seeing the urgency or the desperation just like shine through at the end. And I know we already mentioned this, but even like the two missed free throws by Zach LaVine at the end of the game, he could have made it a 3-point game, you know, whatever. It's like, you still had to get a stop, but even those free throws just like not going in, I'm like, what type of energy do we have here? You know, like, our lives are on the line. That's like the vibe that I want. Obviously, it's just basketball. It's a child's game. But you're in March, and like, you're going to be off for a little bit once you do finish the season, wherever you do finish the season. So like, keep going until then. Just keep going. Leave it all out there.
Yeah. Man, the more I talk about them, I just said I was in a good spot. I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm in a really good spot with how things are at this point because I'm realistic. I know it is what it is. But then the more I talk about the final stretch, I'm just like, why?
It's frustrating.
Like, you have too many talented players. You got shooting out there. And even someone like, I think about someone like Jake LaRavia tonight, who I thought at times did some really nice things. What did he end up in this game? He had 11 points, 4 of 9, 2 of 6 from downtown. But how decisive he was being with the ball. He'd get the ball and like, it's like if he wasn't shooting, he was putting the ball on the floor. He's attacking the basket or dropping a nice pass to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about him, like, again, if you're playing with some sort of pace, if there is movement, maybe he's making a play for somebody, or maybe he's getting to the free throw line or finishing at the rim. And there was none of that. And I think when you get to these late game situations and you just become predictable, everybody in the, we're all watching it.
Yeah.
If we know this is going to happen, Doc Rivers and his coaching staff, they know what's about to happen.
They study.
Okay. Well, it's Levine or Jamar here.
Yeah. It becomes so much easier for defense. And then obviously when your best player in Giannis Antetokounmpo is just like now going off and becoming unstoppable. And not only is he fueled by the points that he's putting on the board, but how he's generating those points, right? Where he's just feeling unstoppable. And when you have that, like even at the end when he goes hard to the rack, Keegan with a phenomenal block.
God, dude.
And then Giannis, fantastic second effort to tip it to, was it Gary Trent Jr.
Yes.
in the corner?
Yes.
Yep, for a three. And again, just creating an opportunity out of a block, not letting it get him down, not just falling to the floor. And that team had more of those moments, especially in that second half.
And the Kings have just not, especially in the post-De'Aaron Fox era, if you want to call it that, the pace is just never consistent. And there was one thing that popped out to me big time, and this was on a play where the Kings forced a miss. I believe it was Torian Prince missing a three. Rebound gets to Levine. He's pushing in transition. Valanciunas is walking up. No one else is spread. Everyone else is jogging up the floor. Guys, Zach Levine is trying to push the pace.
Oh, yeah.
No one's running with him. No one's sprinting to the corners to get the defense to, you know, go attach to like the corner for a guy who's going straight to the corner. No. The Bucks just get back, and then we're in a half-court set, and then Levine takes a tough shot. No one's there to rebound. The Bucks get it. Levine needs to play with pace, but it's hard for him to play in transition when the rest of the team is not playing in transition. You guys have to make life easier and run with him. There has to be threats. Otherwise, if he's pushing 1-on-4, okay, cool. It's pretty easy. We'll pack the paint. We'll stay attached to him, and we'll live with the result. And the numbers kind of back that up. Kings only had 6 fast break points tonight. 6. 2 of 5 in fast break points, okay? Giannis had 8 fast break points by himself. Giannis had more fast break points than the Kings. The Bucks had 20 fast break points tonight. It's a commitment to just understanding. I'm not saying it's easy. Like, sprinting up and down the floor is tough. And then go play defense. But that you're professionals. That's what you're supposed to do. So if we're all talking about trying to get Levine going and, hey, get him in his spots, yeah, some of it falls on Levine looking to be aggressive, right? And he attacked more. He took 17 shots a game after he took only 9. But you guys got to help him out. Run with him. And they did not do that consistently.
Yeah. And I don't get that either because, you know, you just mentioned the post-De'Aaron era of, like, pace and guys running. I felt like people were running with De'Aaron or trying to.
Sometimes
at least.
And I felt like early on, yes, they were. But like DeMar does less of that than ever, okay? Without Sabonis plays so hard. Valanciunas, I just don't know that he has it in the
sure,
tank. Like,
sure.
He's just a big guy, but I think he has more than walking back up.
Yeah.
But when you're missing Monk, who gets up and down the floor, he loves to push too, and you're missing Sabonis, it's a little more challenging. And then you have to have the buy-in from everyone. But like if two players aren't doing it, like just say like DeRozan's not really running up the floor or Valanciunas, like if you're Keegan and Keon, are you going to be sprinting up the floor all the time? Why not? Like, it's got to be a commitment from everybody. And if it's not a commitment from everyone, it's just not going to work. And for a team like the Bucks, it's a veteran team that has like great aspirations. They're trying to move up in the standings. Like, they know to get back in defense. Yeah. They know they got to get back and control the tempo. And you just make it easier for them.
So. Yeah. And I think in a game like this tonight, where it's like, if the Kings just fought back with the way that the Bucks fought back in that second half, even if Giannis had still gone off, like at times they still had the lead, you know, and but it just didn't have that same type of force and fight that we saw from this Bucks team. And if you do not, one, match it, and then two, take it up a whole nother level, especially when you're at home on your home floor, I can't say like, oh, you just don't have it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, that's what I start to feel like. Because then there's these great wins that we see, the iconic wins that we see against the Grizzlies and the Cavs. I say iconic, whatever. Yeah,
that was a bit of a stretch. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic wins against the Grizzlies and the Cavs. And the fight, but also the style of play. And tonight, there's so many things I liked about the style of play.
Yeah.
But not through four quarters. All four quarters. It's tough. It's hard. I get all the things.
I just think pace is so important in today's game. And, like, that's the thing. If someone like DeMar is not going to, like, you give him the ball and he's just dribbling up the court, even in the first half, it just can't happen.
Yeah.
Today's game, you got to play fast. And that's another thing that I felt like, you know, Giannis to me, he had 32 and 17. Anyone else gets those numbers like, oh my God, what a performance. I go, yeah, that's Giannis. That's what he does almost every night. This guy's the second leading scorer in the league right now. He's a beast. We know he's going to have a stretch when he wants to take over that he can really change how the game is, right? How the game's going. It's Kevin Porter coming through and going, I am pushing right now. I'm seeking out mismatches. I got Trey Lyles on me. I'm going to attack. Let's go a little pick and roll situation. I got Laravia on me. He's a good defender, but I'm in a rhythm now. I'm hitting a jumper. Oh, the Kings don't have a rim protector here. Let's go a little side pick and roll with Lopez. Let me attack the paint. And I'm comfortable knowing that Trey Lyles is not going to block my shot. It's a commitment to like playing fast and not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no. I completely understand it. And I think if the Kings had won, we still have just such a different tone.
Sure.
Even on that. I mean, no shit. But like, even on that, where it's like, oh, you know, I know they started to play slower there at the end, but man, they still got things done. But you're looking at a game where there's so many moments where guys were moving without the basketball. And that was some of my favorite things tonight. Zach LaVine also attempting 17 shots tonight, you know, with his 16 points. And again, I'm not trying to like, I don't give a shit about like shining a bright spotlight on certain things, but truly I'm just thinking about like, God, so many things I wanted to talk about tonight that I actually was happy about. It's always hard after a loss, but I still want to go over them. Zach LaVine being more aggressive, looking for his, going to the rack. I know he still missed a few easy ones at the basket as he goes full speed downhill. Couldn't get a three-pointer to fall at first. 1 for 5 from three-point land. Glad he kept shooting. 7 rebounds, 5 assists because he was becoming a threat, getting into the paint, finding the open man. And even when he would find the open, he had a lot of hockey assists as well because he'd be that threat. Someone would come over and help, and then he'd get that next pass. And then you'd see, let's say he got it to Trey, and Trey Lyles would drive down the left side, and then Keon is moving across in the middle of the paint, and then he would find Keon for a nice little bunny. My point to this is when everyone's just kind of flowing together, moving without the basketball, great shit happens on the floor. It doesn't matter who is out there.
The one thing with him, I don't love... LaVine.
Okay.
I don't love him like just bringing up the ball in the half court, especially when there's like a good on ball guy on him, like Gary Trent. You know, he had 4 turnovers in this game. A couple of them were just like, one, the ball, first with the ball just slipped out of his hands. Okay, it happens. One, he tried to throw it full court to, I think, Valanciunas, and it hit the rim. And then some good on ball pressure from Gary Trent. He had 4 turnovers in this game. And so.
Oh, yeah. Very good on ball pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was like the tough thing. I mean, there are definitely things I liked in this game, you know? I mean, we're harping on this because they just lost the game, but you just mentioned, all right, finally, Levine, 17 shots, bare minimum, that needs to happen every night.
Yeah.
All right, I need you to be aggressive all the time. Yeah. And we have to find ways to get you aggressive, like some of the stuff we talked about. I love how Keegan Murray's playing right now.
Oh my God, yes.
Would I
yes.
like him to hit six threes? Yes, but what Keegan Murray's being asked to do every night, again, do we need to go
over the list
of guys he's defended? Tonight, it was Giannis. No, the first matchup, they played the Bucks. They put Sabonis on him and put Keegan on Lopez. Well, that wasn't going to work tonight. You're not going to put JV on Giannis. Like, good luck. So Keegan had to take on that task. And early on...
Great job.
I thought he did a really good job. I mean, there's one play where Giannis just lowered his shoulder and Keegan went flying. And I'm like, Keegan's a big dude and he's a strong dude.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis just made him look like...
Yeah.
A little kid. Like, it was like, strong what? That guy is. Yeah. Unbelievable. But the one thing the Bucks kept trying to do was like, all right, we don't want Keegan on him. We're going to hunt mismatches. Let me try to get Levine on him, or let me try to get DeMar on him. And I thought the Kings did a good job in help. And they were, their activity around the rim on him was good. But this was also in the half court. And that's where I think the game changed in the third quarter, when the Kings maybe missed some shots or couldn't get a rebound. Giannis was getting the ball and he was getting downhill. And that's where it's a challenge. It's like, he gets downhill. He gets that deep in the paint. You're fronting him. He somehow gets the ball, or you miss an assignment. He's whatever. He's going to make you pay for it. In that first half, I like the activity. I know it's jumping ahead, but Keegan Murray, I thought, did a really good job trying to play physical, helping when necessary. He had a couple of blocks on Giannis tonight. God. The guy is defending Giannis one night, Steph the other night, Donovan Mitchell another night, Kevin Durant. The guy is, I get excited. I was telling Morgan before the show, I'm like, I don't know if this is me trying to make myself feel better about how the season's going, but I'm like, all right, the future's scary. We all admit that. But I'm like,
admit it.
I like Keegan for the future. I like Keon. I'm starting to see more from Devin Carter that gets me excited. We'll talk about Isaac Jones later in the show, yeah, who just got a guaranteed deal. But those three, like in particular, I'm like, okay, Jake LaRavia. I'm like, I like these guys. Yeah. I want to see more of them play. It just seems like this roster construction is just so weird.
It is.
And they're forced to play these offensive heavy lineups that have huge defensive deficiencies.
Yeah. And it's defense, quality defense, individual quality defenders. They're not everywhere in this league. It's hard to find the ones that aren't a liability on the offensive end. So when you really find some sort of two-way guy and then you keep developing their offensive game or whatever it is, it's pretty fun to watch if you're a basketball sicko, right? Like, you really just get to see someone like Keegan take on the best player night after night after night. And sometimes you look at his stat line, you go, that doesn't tell the whole story. And I love how much that he's really embraced that role. And he's also been able to, because he's not asked to chuck up a whole bunch of threes and be this huge offensive player. He's more asked to take on the task, the assignment of the best player of the other team. And it's like, hey, but also try and make sure you're getting yours on the offensive end. But we're leaving night after night being like, yeah, he's doing his job. He's doing his job. It's something to be positive about. Absolutely.
Yep.
Tonight, 9 rebounds as well, 13 points, all the 2 blocks. Love what we're seeing. Keon Ellis, we obviously have already talked about him. Love what we've been seeing from him. And then Devin Carter, even in his 10 minutes, only the 1 point off the bench, but his activity and his confidence looks like you see something there, like, okay, I'm understanding yep. this piece even more.
One play I just got reminded of involving Keegan, and I swear this was the play that swung the game. I know this is really simplistic, but in my head, this is what my irrational mind thought of. When Valanciunas, for whatever reason, decides to try to throw a behind-the-back pass to Keegan mm-hmm. for 3, and it's an awful behind-the-back pass. It was unnecessary. Giannis steals it, jam. I felt like that was just like, it's like the Kings need some good execution here. They're trying to fight off Giannis getting going. And Valanciunas, who had a good game, I'm not trying to pick on the guy here, had a good game.
You're just like, mentioning one play.
Why did you throw that behind the back pass? And then someone else in the chat just mentioned there was a play where I didn't know if it was a design play. I'm like, is that the design? Where Levine gets downhill. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The help defender comes. Valanciunas is in the corner, open for three.
Oh, yeah.
And Levine kicks it to him, and Valanciunas misses the shot. I'm like, okay, I know Valanciunas has the ability to do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you wanted there? I'd rather that be Keegan in the corner, not Valanciunas in the corner. I'd rather be Keon in the corner, not Valanciunas in the corner. I'm like, we need a bucket now, and we are, hey, Levine, get downhill. Let's draw that second defender. We'll get JV in the corner. What? Doc Rivers is going, thank God.
Try that in the second quarter, you know, or like wherever you really feel the confidence. But yeah, that I think also one more thing of negativity too, because as we go back down this dark hole, you mentioned it a little bit too of them seeking out like a mismatch.
Yeah.
When they revert back to that, and I mentioned this on the postgame show, when they revert to seeking out mismatches, I feel like they're doing that a lot under Mike Brown. And it's like, that's all that the mindset is. It's like one, they're in tunnel vision to just being like, where's the mismatch? That's going to be our offense.
Yeah,
and it's like, since when is that how basketball, a team sport, supposed to be played in one at a high rate?
Yeah, there's some points I don't mind hunting out, like, hey,
points.
But I'm more about hunting out the mismatch by doing it in transition when the defense is on their heels a little bit.
Cross, you know, matches. I mean?
That's where I go back to Kevin Porter again, who ends up in this game finishing with 18 points in 27 minutes. But get this, he was 8 of 10 shooting, 2 of 2 from downtown. He also had 6 assists. This guy had a major impact on the game. Major impact. And that's what he was doing. It was just like, first of all, he's a really explosive guard. Like, he's a really explosive player, but he's getting downhill or getting guys in tough matchups and playing fast. And that's what I want to see. I don't totally love to slow it down, seeking mismatches where everyone else is standing around. Like, get the defense rotating. Don't be so predictable. We got to hear from Keon Ellis in just a second. He had some interesting things to say about the Kings' late game situation. We have some bright spots to get to. Yeah. I don't know if we got to all the bright spots yet. I want to give you guys a love for being here late on a Saturday night. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. You guys are the absolute best. Poll question update. Be honest, will the Kings make the play-in? Right now, they're a game and a half up on both the Suns and the Mavericks.
Uh-huh.
They still play the Suns one more time. Mm-hmm. Final game of the year. Is it going to come down to
and
that?
The Mavs have AD possibly coming
maybe
back.
Maybe Lively and Gafford. Yeah. Jane Hardy, too. Look out. Kyrie's going to somehow come back. Like, what? I thought you tore your ACL.
I'm good.
I'm good, man. The poll question, will the Kings make the play-in? 37%. This is close. Wow. Talk about a mixed bag. 37% say yes, I still believe. 33% say nope, don't see it. 30% say I am on the fence.
That's a really close poll. Where are you at?
Here's why I'm on the fence. As I made
good. Fall. That's where I'm at.
And but it's I don't know if it's even a good
hi,
enough
welcome
reason.
To the fence. How are you doing and why?
The only reason the Suns' schedule is tougher than the Kings. That's the only reason. The Suns' schedule is tougher than the Kings.
So then where else would you be if it wasn't?
If it wasn't, I would say I don't see it.
Whoa.
Morgan, a couple of things.
I said that in the pregame, so.
Domantas Sabonis, we don't know when he's coming back.
Yeah.
He's reevaluated sometime next week.
Yes.
Sometimes that's reevaluated, like, hope so.
Yeah.
And I know he wants to be back. He's itching to be back, and he would help this team dramatically, I think, mm-hmm. during the stretch of games where they like 2-7 without him, something like that. Not good. That's tough.
Yep.
So with him, without him, couple that with the schedule, the flow of things, it's tough to see. Anyway, we got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. We got to get to some comments too from all the basketball sickos hanging out with us. This podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery.
Thank God.
Cheers, huh?
Thank God.
Cheers to them. Cheers to Centivo Vineyards and Winery for being the official wine of the Deuce and Mo podcast.
It's something I can look forward to after any loss or any win where I know, like, I'm going to love it. Every single bottle is absolutely amazing. Like, have you ever just gone to the store and you're like, I'm going to try a new bottle, and then it's like, what? No, I just wasted money on this. You're never going to waste money on a bottle of Centivo wine because it's all seriously so delicious. It's family owned. They're all Kings fans. They're amazing people. Just go to CentivoVineyards.com. You can buy your wine there. You can become a wine club member. They're the best. Thank God for them.
Boosty in the chat says, you guys didn't cheers. Did we not?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know if we actually did. Did we?
Okay. Almost positive.
Well, that's what we do it again, huh?
Okay.
We're also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one at Golden One Credit Union. Make sure to scan that QR code on the screen or go to goldenonecreditunion.com and see their range of products and services to help you start your financial journey today, plus some amazing perks. Especially if you're a Kings fan, right? Up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. Plus, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at Kings at the Kings team store. Plus, the chance to win courtside and lower bowl seat upgrades when you wave your Golden One card at select games. That includes club access, food, and beverages. That's how you win as one at Golden One. Also presented by our friends over at
Medic Ambulance. We're thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California. For over 45 years, Medic Ambulance has set the standard in emergency medical services, combining cutting-edge technology, award-winning service, and a deep commitment to community care. Medic is the official emergency medical response partner of Sac Republic and Sac State Athletics. Learn more at medicambulance.net.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Appreciate you guys for rocking with us tonight. Morgan Reagan, you want to hear some Keon Ellis and get his thoughts on what went down tonight?
I do.
In the Kings loss to the Bucks. Keon, take it away.
Keon, it seems it's become a bit of a theme, but late in these games, offense becoming a little bit stagnant. What do you make of that from your perspective?
if that's the case, I think we're just trying to slow it down and just get it to our guys who we know, are clutch in those situations. So, maybe it's a thing of trying to get it to them too much, too early maybe. And I think probably could move the ball a little bit more before we try to, I would say just go ISO ball and just try to get it to the guys who we know can make the tough shots and, you know, those timely shots. So I think that might be what it could be. But, damn, I'm blanking. I kind of forgot the question. But, yeah, I think in situations you probably could just try to explore a little bit more within the offense and see if we can get the defense to make a mistake before we just try to hit tough shot after tough shot.
Keon, really good first half for you. Then just three shot attempts in the second half. I asked Keegan a little bit about halftime adjustments of opponents, and he said it's not adjustments, it's you guys. Do you agree with that assessment? Why does it feel like you guys go away from what's working in the first half so much?
I don't necessarily feel that way. I mean, what was working for us was in the first half, ball movement a lot. And then I think as far as me personally, the shots that I was getting just was, how the defense reacted to certain things. And I think in the second half, they had trouble guarding our step up screen. So we kind of ran that until, you know, they kind of tried to figure it out, but I think they called a timeout and we tried to drop a play and maybe didn't score for two possessions or whatever, then just went to something else instead of staying with the step. But I don't think we intentionally went away from it. I think we kind of forgot maybe what was working for us. So at that point, you tried to explore a little bit more within our offense and the other plays that we have. So, but probably would have been smarter to just stick to what we were killing them with.
Having now dropped six of the last eight, I'm just kind of curious how you guys feel you've been able to kind of stomach that and with the road ahead for you guys, just maybe what the mindset is there at that point.
I mean, just got to keep fighting. You know, our schedule doesn't get any easier. Trying to go out there and win every game, put ourselves in a position to fight to win every game. So tough to lose one like tonight, and especially coming off of the previous one. But I mean, we know it doesn't get any easier. We have to bring it to an even higher level. I don't know when the next game is, but on the next one, we obviously have Boston. So just gotta bring the fight against them. I mean, we know what our situation is for our standings and what we're playing for and everything. So just got to keep that the main focus and try to rally together some wins.
Keon, when you know you get these opportunities to start and get out there and help your team in that way, just how do you, you know, as far as your approach goes, does anything change? Does the game come to you any differently in those situations?
Not necessarily. I would say just try to be real vocal out there, you know, just make sure I'm helping in any way I can. But obviously if a night like tonight where I'm coming in probably at the point guard spot, just trying to make sure, spread the ball within all of our guys, make sure we're getting touches, make sure, you know, everyone's feeling comfortable. And then on the defensive end, just trying to be real vocal, make sure we're in our spots and just to execute the game plan. So, but other than that, just doing what I do and trying to affect the game in that way. But starting or not starting, I'm just going to go out there and be me.
There's Keon Ellis after this Kings loss. What jumped out to you about what he had to say at the very beginning?
Yep. One of the first things. Yeah. It was just him talking about, like, why not kill them with what was working for us? And that was the ball moving around. But then also, you know, just, you know what I like about it is that they all know that they can depend on those ISO guys, Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan, whoever, to get them a bucket. But at the same time, they also know that playing the way that they're playing, which is team basketball or whatever else it is ultimately winning basketball. Like, keep playing the game the right way until you need to go to your secret weapons, you know, until you need other guys to use their magic powers.
You know, it's funny. If you just read Keon's quotes and didn't hear it,
yeah,
you just read it, like, oh my God, he just...
Totally.
So like it is, but you listen, he was just so calm, like, no, we just need to do this. And it was like,
just strategy.
Yeah, that's all. It's something that, like, is so transparent. I actually like it a lot.
I agree.
He's not ripping anyone. He's just like, he even said, like, we know these guys can make clutch shots, but I think we can have some more movement earlier on to set these guys up. Oh, by the way, that reminded me too. We have this Keon Ellis bobblehead.
Don't do it so close. It will okay. be less blurry.
Anyway, they are giving these away at the final Stockton Kings game of the season. That's March 26th, their final home game. The first 1,000 fans get a Keon Ellis bobblehead. Got my hands on this for a studio. Shout out to my guy, Jared. Anyway, StocktonKings.com for tickets.
Thanks, Jared. Hell yeah. That's really cool.
I should have promoted that like 2 weeks ago, maybe when they were winning games, you know. But hey, you know what? Yikes. So if you want to check it out, it's actually a good time. First of all, it'll be a great atmosphere, final game there of the regular season, March 26th. Stockton Kings take on the Sioux Falls Sky Force.
Ooh.
Two Simo in the building for that one. First 1,000 fans get a Keon Ellis bobblehead. That's really cool.
Oh.
Almost burped. Yeah. Anyway,
how do you stop a burp?
Keon, I liked what he had to say there. And he's right. He's right. That's good perspective.
Absolutely. I great breakdown.
Other positives tonight. We mentioned Keon. I just think the growth from him. I just, last year it was exciting because you saw a glimpse of him late in the year, especially once Monk and Herter went down, where you're like, oh, this guy, there's something here defensively, and he can hit threes. And going into this year, like, oh, he could still hit threes and he's still really good defensively. Now, defensively, there's going to be tough matchups for him at times against bigger guards. I think that's going to be a challenge for him. I think this offseason, if he can get a little stronger, I think he's always going to be a wiry guy. But, you know, there's also wiry guys who are strong. Kobe White's one of those guys.
Yeah.
We saw that on display against the Bulls the other night. But now we're seeing him do things with the ball, putting the ball on the floor. That step through he had, he's got a nice floater.
Hell yeah.
He's showing an expanded game now where you go, this guy's a pretty good player.
Hell yeah. It's, I think one of the coolest things, and Doug said this in the pregame, is like the Kings having a G League organization, not to just have a G League organization. Mm. They're having it there to actually develop guys. And what that can do for your future roster, with having flexibility when it comes to managing the contracts, money, all the different things, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And it also gives you the opportunity to really like mold a player into what you need specifically for your organization or for your roster. And so to see that from Keon Ellis, and then now I'm sure you're going to be talking about Isaac Jones, to see that guy with his story translate into now a guaranteed deal within this organization. It's like, yeah, the organization's doing something right with developing their guys, with picking out the right young guys, but also these young guys are taking on that knowledge in translating it into like becoming really good basketball players.
I mentioned this last podcast, but specifically with Keon, he's a guy that next year I think he's got to be in your starting lineup. You got to figure out your roster so he is a starter. I think he's that type of impact of a player out there. And he does the right things. He plays the right way. Like he's not going to try to do too much. He'll be more aggressive. Like you saw tonight, defensively, he's just a pest. He could switch. He's near the top in deflections in the league, and he's not playing like a ton of minutes every night. I cannot fathom. And you know, I liked Mike Brown a lot. I know you did too.
Yeah.
I just struggle with the fact that this guy was not playing games at times this year. DNPs. Insane to me.
Yeah.
That was a big mistake.
It was. And I mean, coaches all have their style, their different styles and way they want to go about things. And sometimes they're going to be wrong. And that was something he was definitely wrong about.
You mentioned Isaac Jones. Super cool story. Isaac Jones today got a new deal with the Sacramento Kings. No longer on a two-way contract with Sacramento. He got promoted. So the deal is a two-year deal, but it's the rest of this year. And then next year, there's a partial guarantee.
Got it.
That will happen. I haven't seen the specifics on it, but typically it's, you know, December or January that they could guarantee it for the rest of the year.
Yep.
But you just think about this guy's journey. And I know we still haven't seen enough of him yet, but there's something there. And you think about what he can do at his size, the athleticism he has. He plays with physicality, good touch around the basket. But his journey, this guy out of high school was not playing college basketball. He's working at a pipe manufacturing company on a loading dock. And his friend was like, going to try out for a JUCO team, a junior college team. The coach is like, well, do you know anyone that's 6'8", 6'9", you know, whatever. He goes, yeah, I got someone. He ends up going to a junior college, completely out of shape, worked on his body, got better, ends up going to Idaho, transfers to Washington State, okay? Then it's not on anybody's draft boards. No one's talking about Isaac Jones, right? He goes to the G League Elite Camp, which is the pre-draft camp, not the NBA Draft Combine, the G League Elite Camp. That's how he got on teams' radars, by how he played in these scrimmages. He goes undrafted. The Kings sign him to a two-way deal. He's there in the California Classic. You're like, okay, this guy seems kind of raw, but there's something here.
There was definitely something there.
He worked on his body. He worked on his game. A guy that never took threes in college starts taking threes. He's starting to knock them down more. To see his growth from when we first saw him in the California Classic to now, you're like, wow, this guy has a spot in the league. And I don't know. I root on guys like him because everybody's journey is different. And the same thing with Keon Ellis. This guy, he went junior college to Alabama. To somehow that guy went undrafted to a two-way deal to now a guaranteed deal. And he's going to earn a decent deal in the NBA. Everybody's past different, and Isaac's got a pretty unique story. I don't think if you would have asked him a year ago, hey, you're going to have a full-time guaranteed deal in the NBA, I don't know that he would have believed it.
Yeah, and I think one of my favorite things about him, too, is that what you see him do, and I think I already kind of mentioned this, is that when he is taught something, he takes that knowledge and he takes it to heart, and he translates it into something good. A coachable player is obviously every organization's dream, right? Because then you talk about molding a guy. Like, that's what you're doing with someone like Isaac Jones. You're molding him into the player that you want him to be, but it also has to, that player also has to take that on and want to become that. And I feel like he is one of those humans that is like, yeah, I want to be here. I want to take on that challenge and I'm going to do everything it takes.
It's awesome. It's going to be great fun to see what he can turn into, and hopefully he can be an impactful player for the Kings next year. You know, maybe get some spot minutes down the stretch. And I think when we've seen him at times, you're like, okay, when we see him in the G League, he's really good in the G League.
Yeah.
You know, good rim protector, good length, pretty strong. His feel around the rim's nice and showing that he's not scared to take the three. Yeah.
Keep developing.
Let's get to some super chats, Morgan. Yes. We only have two tonight, which is all good. We'll get some other questions, non-super chats. Richard, he's now a member for two straight months, said, hey, Morgan, do you remember me from earlier?
Yes. Richard was one of our young listeners, and he kept asking me, where's Deuce? Where's Deuce? Him and his friend Matthew.
How old is he?
I'm very bad.
If you were to guess.
No, I'm so bad.
If you were to guess, a range.
15?
15.
What if he's like 18? And I was guessing he was 15.
I was just asking because you know what I do for everyone that walks by when I'm on studio? I go, for audio listeners, the Rizzler.
That's the
Rizzler.
Can
I just say people pop for that?
Not people, children.
An adult laughed yesterday or the other day when I did it. Also, I have a super chat question for Morgan.
What?
Why do I feel like your energy is like this? Like, you're saying great things tonight. I just feel like you're kind of a flat, low energy tonight. Are you okay? Are you not feeling well?
No, I'm probably okay. Probably, like, I don't know, hormones or something.
Oh, God. Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand about this. And somebody help me. Somebody help me. If something happens to you every month for how many years?
36.
30, well, I don't know about 36 years. Like, if something 20, happens every month for 20 years.
No, 20 plus.
20 plus years. Yeah. 20 plus years. 23 years. Uh-huh. You would think at some point you would like adjust, get used to it, be like, I know what this is like. I got a power. Like, why does it impact you this much?
Why do you have to do the same joke every single time?
This is kind of serious.
You know what's funny? So I don't know if you know this, the anatomy of a body and how a woman's body can actually produce, I don't know, a human child coming out of them. Think about how fucking insane that is.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah, and it so is. Like, so I don't know if you know this.
Are you expecting?
No, so when a woman is on their cycle, your body puts you through that same type of trauma and your hormones and everything go through that same type of elements, and that is why you face different levels of energy and different things happening to you.
All right, so all the women listeners, just know, if you have not heard me do this to Morgan before, I have. I just sold that way better than I have ever sold it before. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good job.
Yeah, because usually you start laughing in the middle of your joke every single time, and the people are like, oh my god.
Is that why you're low energy though?
I didn't think I was.
He's just very monotone.
I came in super hot.
It's like NPR.
Wait, didn't I come in super hot though?
That's the thing. I think you're right because you said you're not. You did the whole thing where I'm not gonna get angry, and then it's like, okay, it seems kind of angry. So then you came in hot, like, why didn't the Kings clothesline Sabonis? And now you're talking like you're on NPR.
Sabonis.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Idiot.
Giannis.
Am I real? It's so
it's
funny.
It's very NPR. I'm like, God, am I?
I can't even, and what's so funny is that, like, to me, I'm uppity, and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, man, if this is good, you know?
See, that's the thing, you don't have an excuse anytime that I...
You come to me when I'm low energy. Oh, let me know, on the podcast.
Or, like, when you, like, stutter or mess up 100 words.
Yeah, guess what? I had a speech impediment growing up, and I've overcome it.
No.
Yeah, I did.
No, I know.
And you know it's, what?
What?
That's pretty impressive. That little Deuce Mason couldn't say his alls.
Like, no, alls.
And I used to say, Grandma, I want to be a broadcaster. And she was like, yeah, you can do it. Like,
What about
and I did it.
What about the days? Do you want me to come at you on the days that you go to therapy and you're like, Morgan, I overworked my brain, so I'm like slower in different ways.
When I'm reprocessing trauma of my scumbag dad.
That's my point. So there, now you're the victim. I can become the victim in this.
This happens to you every month. Get over it.
He's not serious to all my feminists out there. Because he would be dead.
That's really nice. An update. Someone saying Mo is pregnant. Congratulations.
Yeah. Let me drink up that shit. Then.
As you drink up the Centivo. Another super chat. Sebastian donates $2. What are some ways the Kings can become contenders? Smiley face. Just so you know, Sebastian's a Spurs fan asking that, and I feel like that's sarcastic and not nice. What are some ways they can become contenders? Come on,
I don't know. Do everything that we've already talked about this entire podcast. Oh. Like play four quarters the right way.
Rough W the chat says, oh Lord, another Dew story about how he had a bad childhood. Colin says, victim off.
Victim off, yes. I'm the victim. I'm the victim.
Oh my God. Okay, so... anything else good from this game? Should I look back at my notes to find something I liked? Because I don't like this to be all bad. Oh, 225, first quarter. This is the type of shit I love from Keon Ellis. Digs on Kuzma, put nice pressure on him, knocks the ball away, dives on the floor. Then Devin Carter comes away and grabs the ball.
I already mentioned my favorite play.
Which one?
The Keegan rip. That rebound,
dude.
Who did he rip that from? Was that Rollins? I forget,
but no, his rebounding's gone so much better this year. And he pushed tonight off the dribble and won. I like Keegan's gear this year.
Trey's had a few moments the last couple of games.
He wasn't very good tonight.
I know he wasn't, and he missed a lot of shots, but like...
he was getting cooked defensively, too.
So anyway, he still has a few moments where he's like... his effort is just there on trying to rebound the basketball and trying to crash the boards, on his physicality being there. And I appreciate it when he's even playing bad. That's it.
Fair enough. Sorry.
Yeah, you shit on my positive like three times right there.
A question for Mike. Deuce, what would your lineup be? First unit and second unit? I would start Keon. And I would bring Malik off the bench. And I understand it might make some people upset. Malik upset. I'm breaking news. I don't care.
Oh, God. We all know you don't care about a lot of things.
You're still going to play a lot of minutes. You're still going to be important. I just think for the balance of the roster, I think having... and the numbers back it up. You look at the ratings for the different lineups, and the lineups that feature both Keegan and Keon... pretty good. The lineup that's like all offense with Keegan, not so good. And you know, long term, I think you need to make moves, but I'm talking about with this year as it stands right now, I would start Keon, Levine, DeMar, Keegan, and Sabonis. I mean, I'd get even crazy. You can even get crazier if you wanted to, but I don't think it's just like you can't bring Levine off the bench. Maybe you could make a case. I can't imagine you bring up Monk and DeMar. It's just not going to happen. So you take one of them. Would Malik close the game? Here's my thing on closing games. I think to me, it depends on what you need
in
the situation.
What the flow of the situation is. Like, who's flowing? Who's working? Like, even Jake LaRavia played. I had no problem with LaRavia being in the lineup. I didn't even have a problem with the lineup. That unit that was in to end the game, I just think there had to be a way you kept Keon in the game with the way that he was playing. And I don't know what decision and what person that means. But again, I do believe he should have been in there.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just put him in there for a couple of minutes and then changed it down the stretch. I don't know. There's just different things you could have done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I also like Jake LaRavia a lot. Deuce, why are your pits so sweaty?
Are they?
No, I think I'm good. You just wanted me to lift up my arms and show off the guns. You're good.
Well, here, you guys got what you want.
Yeah. If you have not done it yet, hit the thumbs up. Make sure you're subscribed. Oh, I want to look at more of my notes just to make sure there's nothing else I missed. Oh, yeah. This is one of my... we talked about Keon's playmaking a bit tonight. He got the ball. I believe it was in the corner with Rollins on him. Nice hesitation move to the basket, attacking. Connaughton comes over and help position at the rim, leaves his feet. Keon drops it right off, and it was an easy bucket for the Kings. That was right before the half. The Kings closed well at the end of the first half. An 18-7 run. That was good shit. I also thought the Kings threw some nice doubles at Giannis in the first half.
Yeah.
And it even worked once in the second half. They threw a double on Giannis. He gave up the ball. Ended up being a shot clock violation. The Kings just could not capitalize. In the final couple of minutes, they could not score.
Look, it's like I already said. If we were talking about this loss even 2 months ago, we're feeling different about it. Where we're, especially with all the changes that were being made and everything, it's like you're just going, yeah, yep. Wow. The effort, the style of play, love it. Again, no, nothing. I don't know why people think that translates into moral victory when you get excited about good basketball being played, growth, all those things. But what I will say about this game, because we are in March, is why we are not satisfied, is why.
Can I follow up on that real fast?
We're unhappy, yeah.
The whole, like, what you just said. I mean, first of all, who cares about the people saying, are you suggesting it's a moral victory? Like, who cares? One. But two, like, our podcast, what we do after a game is we talk about the game that just played. We don't just, like, go, this is, oh, this sucks. They lost. But we try to offer some context, and we go over the good and the bad, usually in wins and losses. We go over the highs and lows.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, in a game like tonight, there was good. And that doesn't equate to saying, hey, this was good, so you have to like it. It's like, no, your team lost. You shouldn't necessarily be happy.
Yeah.
There's still good things you could pull from it.
Deuce, it's something that we always talk about. On this show especially, we're always just going to say what we feel, how we feel, all the things. I don't give a shit about anyone that says those things. But I also think when I look at this game and I look at the month that we're in compared to how I would feel even a month ago in this game being played, it just, that is my point of describing my emotions more so than actually like giving a shit of what anyone else feels about it.
So the Kings have now lost 6 of 8 games. They are firmly in the 9th spot. I already said goodbye to the 8th, but now it's like
so
for
long.
Sure, 5 games behind Minnesota and the Clippers for the 8th and 7th spots. Those two are right there. Right now, the Suns are in the 10th spot, 34 and 37, just a game and a half behind Sacramento. The Mavs are 34 and 37. They are also a game and a half behind Sacramento. Portland, they're trying to make a little bit of noise here. They won 4 in a row.
Oh.
But they still got a ways to go if they want to catch Sacramento. But for them, they're going, we're just 2 games behind the Suns and Mavericks. So Portland's like, maybe, just maybe. We also know that the Kings play Portland again, and mm-hmm. Portland has been a very tough matchup for Sacramento mm-hmm. with their size and length. So, wow. But next up for the Kings is not Portland. It's the Boston Celtics. You hope Malik Monk is available for that game. I think there's a little bit of a sickness going around the Kings locker room. Laravia missed the game for being sick. And then tonight, that's why Malik missed the game. He was sick.
Yeah. Celtics might be without Jaylen Brown. They were without him last night.
He's not playing. And they play tomorrow in Portland. Yeah. Tomorrow afternoon, the 3 p.m. tip off. He is not playing in that game.
Sunday. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see if he's back against the Sacramento Kings for Monday's game. But either way, they still have a packed roster and a lot of challenges. But I know the Kings beat them, obviously, on their floor.
Dude, that was one of the best wins of the year. That was such a fun game.
No De'Aaron in that game, right?
Right. That was fun.
Yeah.
What a win.
It was a lot of fun.
Steven says the Kings might drop a few more in a row. If they do, they have a chance of falling out completely. I'm also to the point now, if they fell out completely, fine. You get your draft pick in the 2025 draft. I've accepted this year because breaking news, is there anything, and I've said breaking news 4 times today on the podcast.
7.
Make it 5. Is there anything the rest of the year that would make you go, this season was an absolute success?
A championship?
No. I mean, oh, here's the only thing. They get in the play-in. They win both games and upset the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
That you'd be like, that's a success. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then you'd be like, oh my God, they're going to run it back. They beat OKC. Shit. You know? So my point now is, if they get in the play-in and they get knocked out, you're going to be disappointed. We all know that, right? Yeah. If they get in the playoffs and they lose to OKC in 4 or 5 games, there'll be the excitement of winning play-in games to get there, but ultimately it's a disappointment. If they miss it completely, we're all disappointed. Yes, in a season in which you fire your head coach in December, you trade Fox, you're recalibrating things down the stretch. Now Sabonis all banged up, missing more games than he has ever missed in his time in Sacramento. Yeah, this season's going to be a disappointment. I think I've just accepted that. And that's my whole point.
It just feels like even if they were to win a play-in game and then lose the other, this isn't going to be the roster that they go into next year with. If it is...
Run it back. Yeah, in the chat, Kano, Kaneo, I'm messing up your name. Acceptance actually eases any hurt from that perspective. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I said that so smooth.
Yeah.
You should make fun of me.
Acceptance.
Okay.
Actually.
Morgan.
Yeah.
Next up, the Boston Celtics. That's the next game. They play Boston and OKC back to back.
Yeah.
Buckle up. It's going to be fun.
We all know this. We cut me off.
Yeah, a little fun here.
He said, shut up.
It's time for a game we did not play last podcast. Because I knew Morgan was like,
it's late. No, I didn't.
Who did
that?
We bounce around the NBA in games we did not see today and look for extreme things that might have happened. And we asked Morgan the question,
who did that?
Today, the Pacers beat the Brooklyn Nets 108-103. Searching if any interesting numbers.
Nothing on that first game?
Well, potentially.
Okay.
Okay. 26 points, 5 rebounds in 30 minutes off the bench today for the Nets.
Who's even on their bench?
Well, you're not going to get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Trendon Watford today.
Ah!
26 points. He led the Nets in scoring.
Wow. And they lost?
They lost 108-103. They were 15 of 43 from downtown.
Wow.
They launched 43 triples. Tyrese Halliburton, 16 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds.
Damn.
1 of 6 from downtown for Tyrese, but they get it done. Next up on...
Who did that?
The Hawks taking on the Golden State Warriors. Okay. No Steph Curry, a pelvic contusion.
Sounds awful.
Sounds bad.
All I saw was a controversial play.
I didn't see that either, so I have no idea what it was.
Trae Young was at the half court line, and they sent a double like it was Looney and Butler, and he took like 7 steps. And he got the pass out of it, and they didn't call a travel.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Not surprised at all. Okay, 124-115. The Hawks won!
Yeah!
Yes, the Hawks beat the Warriors tonight by 9 points. 22 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks tonight.
Dyson Daniels?
No, Dyson Daniels had 12 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. That guy's a deflections monster. He also had 3 steals.
Who is it?
Aneku Okongwu.
Okongwu!
And I think I butchered the pronunciation of his last name.
Okongwu?
I did what I haven't been doing. Onyeka. Onyeka! Okongwu.
Yeah, you got Okongwu right.
I know I got Okongwu right. Ever since you mentioned me.
On your period?
Oh. Anyway, you had an awesome game.
Bitch.
My God. Looking at the Hawks tonight, yeah. They shot 57% in this game. 57%.
Damn.
60 points in the paint.
Oh.
60. They were 30 of 46 in the paint. So a big night for them. They also got 25, 10, and 5 from Trae Young. In the loss, Jimmy Butler had 25. Moses Moody had 20. Draymond Green. Wow, what a night. Triple single, 5 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists.
So petty.
Knicks taking on the Wizards. The Knicks won. 122 to 103.
Okay.
Looking at the numbers. You're not going to get this one, but I'll give this guy some love. Keontae George is really interesting.
Okay.
15 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Good size. Nice pickup in the first round by the Wizards. Jordan Poole at 25. They were led in scoring tonight. The Knicks, 31-11 from Cats. They win 122 to 103. And the last game of the night. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I saw this score.
I haven't even seen this score yet. And holy shit. Who did that? Bulls, Lakers, Luka in the lineup. LeBron is back. Luka had 34, 8, and 6. The Bulls won 146 to 115. They clapped that. Lakers ass. Oh my God. The rookie. Matis Buzelis, 31 points. Who had 15 points, 17 assists, and 10 rebounds for the Bulls tonight? 15 points, 17 assists, 10 rebounds, and...
Eight
steals.
It was Josh Giddey. Because I saw that. Giddey? Yeah.
Dude, Josh Giddey has been putting up monster numbers since the All-Star break. He did not play against Sacramento. 15 points, 17 assists, 8 steals for Josh Giddey?
Who did he start over?
My God.
Because hasn't he been coming off the bench?
He has been. Well, it's sometimes.
Okay.
Kobe White had 36.
Damn.
LeBron in his return, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 of 16 shooting. The Bulls end up shooting 58% this game.
Wait. Whoa.
They had 74 points in the paint. That's like what OKC did to the Kings. Remember the night of the Luka trade?
74 to 42.
74 to 42 in the paint. Oh my God. The Bulls in the paint tonight, guys. 37 of 53. Just under 70%. 74 points in the paint?
No defense.
Dude, that is rough.
That is rough. I'd love to see it.
I couldn't even get to it. I guess we did it. Who did that with... Josh Giddey, you're right.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Who else were you going to do? Who did that?
I don't know. I got so excited when I saw the score that I fell apart. The Bulls also hit 19 of 41 from downtown.
You literally exploded.
Matis Buzelis is a fun young player. I called his first ever G League game in Stockton.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't there. Back,
no, I don't think you were there. Matis Buzelis. Good to see that rookie. I like him. He plays with an edge, vocal.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued what he could be. By the way, Kevin Huerter also had 14 points.
Buzelis took a photo with Jonas and Sabonis. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other night.
Good stuff.
After man lost.
How about these Bulls? They make all these trades.
Oh,
and
I know.
And now people don't like the return of either the LaVine trade or the DeRozan trade. But like this group's kind of fun.
Well, maybe that's just what they need to do.
I keep saying that just because the last two games are they all 31 and 40.
I know.
But whatever. Anyway, that's who
did
that. We got to highlight some cool things that happened around the league. And I saw this happen last night. And it's one of those things that I don't think I've ever really seen in the NBA. But Joe Ingles plays on the Minnesota Timberwolves. He has 3 kids. And his 3 kids and his wife live in Orlando. That's where he played last year. And one of his children has autism and has never made it through an entire NBA game.
Yeah.
The other night, for the first time, he made it through an entire NBA game. So they were still in town coming to the game. T-Wolves head coach Chris Finch decided to start Joe Ingles. the idea was, oh, we should play him. It was, you know what? Let's just start him so his kid can see him play in person and for the first time.
Through as long as he could get through, obviously. So
it was such a cool moment. Here's what Chris Finch had to say about it after the T-Wolves win.
Yeah, it's emotional. You know, sometimes you got to do the human thing. And we always talk about all these minutes matter, and those minutes matter for another reason. So, but someone put it in my head today and as an idea to make sure that Joe can see the floor. And I figured if we're going to do it, let's do it in style. So guys were behind it, and I think it gave us the right boost that we needed and change of energy. So not often that you get to do those types of things, but we're really happy that we could.
How cool is that?
I love it. Cause yeah, I'm like speechless talking about it because I think it's, it doesn't happen in this world for so many things. Cause people are like greedy and it's all about wins and money and so many different things. Sometimes you just got to do the right thing, and the right thing can also end in so much good. And that's what it did for the Timberwolves.
And here's what Joe Ingles had to say about it after the game.
Yeah, because I just don't, like, the reality of it is I just don't think people understand, like, it. And it gets kind of confused because of the money and the lifestyle of what we get to live. And it is, like, there's a little less stress because I can afford to pay for Jacob to get what he needs. But it doesn't take away the meltdowns at the supermarket, or like there's been so many times with my wife that was laying on the floor in public, and you can feel people staring at you. You know they're judging you. They know they're making comments about it, but they have no idea what he's gone through that day or the night before or the situation. And ever since he got diagnosed, it's been what we've tried to do with the awareness of, like, shit is real. Like, it doesn't matter who you are or your lifestyle, your money, like, whatever it is. Like, Jacob doesn't really care that I play basketball, like, in terms of that. He wants his dad home, and every time I say I'm going to basketball, he's like, ugh, like, he gets, which I'm sure a lot of kids, it's not just me, obviously. But their reality is a little kind of screwed up, in my opinion, and the awareness, and that's what we try and do, is, like, when there is a kid, like, don't, like, try and help the mum, try and help the dad. It's a real thing. Like, my wife has had so many situations when I've been away that she battles with three kids or one kid, or like whatever you've got. It's tough. And then you add the special needs part to it. It's a real thing. And we'll keep doing what we do. We'll keep pushing it, the awareness, and we'll do whatever we can to help other families. And but I think people just need to understand that this is a real thing. It doesn't go away with money. It doesn't go away with situations you're in. And all we can do is talk about it. And then obviously for us, give Jacob the best chance to fit in this kind of crazy world that we're in.
So there's Joe Ingles after that moment, which was just such a cool moment.
Raw. Real.
Yep.
And, you know, I was just looking at it because I was thinking about, like, the sensory overload for, you know, obviously so many that with autism and that want to also experience the same experiences and everything. And Golden One Center has a sensory room on their event level where, you know, it just basically has this calming space that gives so many people with different challenges that space in those boundaries to take on. And so you just think about the accommodations that some of these teams and organizations make. And for Chris Finch to do that at that level, it's just spectacular.
Yeah. You know, we spend so much time talking about the results of these games, celebrating the wins and bitching about the losses that, you know, this is one of those things that you go, yeah, this is bigger than basketball. And for the Timberwolves to do that and to create awareness about it, right? And Joe Ingles to be so open and transparent about this so more people can learn too, I think it's a really, really cool thing.
I agree. No, very one of those special things at this point of the year when you just, like, take a step back. It's like you said, and you just like forget about all the bitching, all the celebrating, all the different things. And you're just like, life, humans, connection. Yes. The important things.
One other fun moment from the NBA last night. I just feel like last night was just a heartwarming night in the NBA for some reason. I know this is like not as heartwarming, but it's just one of those things that Oklahoma City does. And they do it all the time. Their sideline reporter, Nick Gallo, super nice guy. He's been doing it for years. He does all the post-game interviews with OKC after wins. Well, they win a lot of games, so he's involved a lot. And they always like try to make him feel part of the team. Last night, they beat the Hornets, and literally the whole team's around just like usual. While he's doing the interview, they're putting like jerseys on him,
warm-ups,
and he's still doing the interview totally without
tune like that.
Oh man, we're just playing together.
Without a beat.
Yeah, he's not phased. Look at this. Love, he like he buys in and gives his arm through. Okay, I'm gonna stick my arm through.
Four threes for you tonight.
They get so excited.
So many different ways, and I just wonder, you know, how have you
holding the mic
expand your menu from the 3-point line?
Hello. I mean, just being versatile. The team does a really good job of finding me when I'm open. So I'm out there trying to make plays, play off the catch, and do what I'm supposed to do.
Hey, eight guys in double figures tonight. It's only the fourth time it's happened ever in OKC history. What's it feel like on the bench and on the floor when you have so many guys going?
Like I said, the ball has energy, and when they have energy on the floor, the bench has energy. So it's fun all the way around, no matter where you're at. We just like to enjoy the game. We do this every single day, so why not enjoy it?
You clearly do enjoy it. Thanks, Jay.
You look good, man.
Dude.
And how much fun they all have together. Like, it's the togetherness is just what makes it so beautiful. And then also, I mean, he deserves all the awards. Like, I can barely freaking talk when my IFB is out of place or something, or the mix minus.
Oh my God. The other night when we were getting that feedback in our earpiece, and I just like in the middle, I think it was it post-game?
You ripped out your ear. I ripped out one because I had to still listen, but it's like you basically just hear echoing of yourself while you're talking. And so then you can't really hear what you're saying while he's putting on jerseys and warm-ups and towels. And it's like battling through and sticking to the question. I'm just like, wow, there's so much joy in genuine, I don't know, relationships being told on camera in those moments too.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It is.
Look at, we end on kind of a positive note.
As we
until we get the final thoughts, huh?
Okay, final thoughts. As we should end on positive notes, because at the end of the day, it's like you said, win or lose.
We've accepted our fate.
No, stop.
We have.
Win or lose, we're talking about basketball. And we're talking about basketball with a whole bunch of basketball sickos that enjoy the same thing as us.
Do you mean this? Or are you really trying to make yourself feel
better? No. I really mean this. I really mean this. And I think with some of these feel good moments, like I take a step back and I feel good with that. And I feel good when I leave these games and all these people are coming up to me and us at times and just saying like how much they love the podcast, they connect all the different things. And it's like, yeah, no, like we get to be pissed off together. We get to enjoy together. We get to do all the things. And after a game like this, especially like this, where it's like, yeah, it sucks. Sure. We can accept where we're going to actually be at the end of the season and all the different things. But like the feel good stuff just made me feel good about where I am in life, talking about basketball, talking about the team I grew up rooting for. Everything's good. Everything will be good. It is what it is right now. Until after the Boston Celtics game and I'm fucking livid or something, you know?
I have a pep talk from AI Bill Walton, if you'd like.
I guess I don't have a choice.
Oh, my fellow travelers on this winding road.
No. If you're going to do it like Bill Walton.
But my Bill Walton's really not that good.
It's not bad.
I can. I can try.
You must try.
Oh, my fellow travelers on this winding road. The kings have stumbled, battered by the storm, caught in the relentless downpour of adversity. Six losses in eight games. It feels like we are lost in the vast wilderness, trudging through the thick, unforgiving mud, the weight of doubt pulling at our every step. The horizon is obscure. The path uncertain. The wind is howling in our ears, whispering of despair. But hear me now. This is not the end. This is merely the dense fog before the summit, the test before the triumph. The mighty redwood does not cower in the storm. It bends, it sways, Morgan, but it stands tall. It roots, gripping the earth with unshakable resolve. Oh, Morgan, the kings must be like the towering giants of the forest, unwavering in the face of the elements. Knowing the storms pass, that light will break through the canopy once more.
Beautiful.
Every season in nature has its struggle.
It's Bill, of course he's going to keep going.
The salmon fights against the raging current, leaping upstream against all odds, because it knows the journey, oh, it's worth it. And so too must this team push forward, possession by possession, game by game, knowing the tide will turn, that the breakthrough, Morgan, is coming. So do not let despair take root, Morgan. Oh, the sun still rises, the river still flows, and the kings are still in this fight. Oh, we march on through the darkness, because we know that when the light returns, when the beam once again pierces the sky, it will shine all the brighter for the struggle it took to get there. We endure, we believe, and above all else, we are alive.
Not bad. I wish you would have just fully bought into your Bill Walton.
I tried.
No, because you went in and out of it, and I was like, it was really good.
What? Morgan, I'm not good at it.
Why are you? What? I was just complimenting you.
I'm not. Don't say I didn't buy in. I tried.
I think you're really good at your Bill.
It's not that good.
Will you do your last paragraph in full Bill? Yeah.
No, I don't know what that means, because guess what, Morgan? You know why? Bill Walton, I wish he was here alive right now.
Why?
Because I did just try my best. I tried.
Oh, I thought you were just doing your half, Bill. I thought it was really good still.
You just ruined Final Thoughts. I hope you're happy.
No, I didn't. I thought it was really good. I thought you said you weren't going to do your full.
I did. I tried my best.
I thought it was really good.
I tried my best.
And I thought it was really good.
And you just said I did half Bill Walton. I half.
I thought that's what you were trying to do.
No, I tried my best.
And you did great.
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate all you guys. Any other thoughts you have on the way out the door?
I was being really nice and positive.
I'll practice more for you in the future.
I thought it was really good. I really thought it was really good. I mean, just like Bill, it was really long, like a story.
Yeah, it was
story.
Amazing. We appreciate but you guys so really much. We'll be back Monday night after Kings and Celtics. We love you guys, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week.
Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.